Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio program. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is Walking Through Adversity, Part 2, Do You Really? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's 2 Corinthians 4:17. Last week we talked about, you know, what adversity is and kind of what it's like, and I shared some stories with you. This week we're going to talk more about adversity and different levels of adversity, and I'm going to give you some suggestions based on my own experience. Sometimes as we walk in adversity, we wonder who is going to win the battle, us or the adversity. It's a struggle every day to keep standing, keep walking, to keep believing. Circumstances have turned and not in our favor, and we are thrown into battle again without warning. And especially for those of us who are older, we wonder if we still have the strength. Can we keep going through the valley of difficulties until we reach that morning when we can feel the sunshine again? When glorious hope appears and we finally see everything turning back to good for us? Every water walk, every wilderness is different. Each one tests a different area of our faith. Can we hold on and believe long enough? Will our faith endure to the end of this wilderness? Adversity is very much like a wilderness. That's why I'm making this comparison. There are some differences, but usually. Right now, because of the time we live in and what we're going into, the Lord is testing a lot of us on total reliance. Like, you say you believe me to take care of you completely, but do you really? Do you really believe no matter where you are, no matter what I ask you to do without, do you really believe I will take care of you? Do you really believe I can protect you through the storm? So if the rug has been pulled out from under your life, if you have been cast adrift on the waves and are fighting just to keep your head above water, if you are fighting every day to believe the money will be there to meet your needs, that you will have a roof over your head, that God will come through for you, though nothing in your circumstances seems to agree, you are not alone. I know a number of people going through this same situation right now. I know at least 3 of us are without our own houses to live in. And that's only the ones I know about so far. Very often, we go through trying times to test and strengthen our faith. Do we really believe Him? Or do we just think we do? The time to find out the answer to that question is not later, when you have to believe for every morsel of food you eat. It is now, when you don't. As with other important lessons, for those others of you who are teachers of the Word, do not be surprised it is happening to you. The Lord often teaches us the hard lessons first so we may teach others. I know other teachers of the Word, or I know at least one who is kind of a teacher of the Word, who are experiencing the same kind of adversity I am. They obeyed what they believed the Lord was telling them to do, and now they're technically without a home. Though at present they do have a place to stay with friends. When you become homeless, you have to take everything day by day, sometimes hour by hour. I have days when I can barely do an hour without my situation terrifying me. I'm going to read you some verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Promotion is always preceded by a test. there are many people who are yet to step into the ministries that God has for them. Some of you know who you are. You know if God's spoken to you to do something and you haven't done it. And if that is true, then you are probably going to be prepared in this time. Sometimes you've been working in a field of ministry and you've carried out what God has asked you to carry out, and He wants to promote you to something else. Promotion is always preceded by a test. Joseph was given a prophetic dream prior to being thrown into adversity for 17 years. He endured many tests and trials. All of them were to prepare him for the grand promotion God had for him. Had he not passed them, he probably would not have been suitable for the job. At the very least, he would have had to undergo intense refining. Jobs like he was given cannot go to just anybody. And the Lord doesn't like them to go to people who compromise with sin. During this time that he was going through this, working as Potiphar's estate manager, he is his household manager, Joseph was falsely accused of rape by Potiphar's lying, cheating wife. False accusations are common when you are up for a promotion. Satan always attacks hardest at the beginning and ending of a thing, and he always attacks through the people closest around you. How you handle those false accusations determines whether you are ready for promotion or not. Let me give you a clue on handling them, as I've come under them myself numerous times. If you fight back, if you attack the other person back, God will not defend you. Do you hear me? This is very important that you understand this. Whenever you are attacked, you have two choices. You can fight the battle or he can fight the battle. But you do not get it both ways. You don't get to be ugly back to them and then say, oh, God will defend me. That's not the way that works. God defends those who are in the right, number one, not in sin, number two. You're not doing something sinful and then people are attacking you because you're doing something sinful. And then you go, oh, God, take up for me. He'll laugh at you. Are you kidding me? You got to have a reality check if you think he's going to defend you when you're in sin. Okay, I'm just saying. He will not defend you if you are in the wrong. So remember that, or you could end up fighting a lot of battles and probably not getting any victory. Keep that in mind as you go through this, and you can save yourself a lot of drama, disappointment, and strife. Keep in mind, too, that those promised promotions do not always look like we think they will look when they show up. And the preparation for them definitely does not look like anything we would ever have imagined. Can you say amen? I believe many of God's people in these end times have yet to enter into ministries that God has for them. Do not be surprised when there are adversaries all about you when you get to that point, because Satan doesn't take any of this lying down, okay? It's his job. He's trying to defend his kingdom, even though he's going to lose in the end. He already lost, but he's going to send people at you. Walking through intense adversity is very trying in numerous ways. When things get really bad, we wonder why the Lord does not seem to be directing us. Why is he being silent? He is silent because he is watching to see if you will choose the correct response. If you will choose to act like he would act, or if you just get down in your flesh and act however you want. Your response to each test determines what comes next. Did you know that? He is watching to see if you are truly ready for promotion or if you will require several rounds of really intense refining to get the devil out of you first and to crucify your flesh so you stopped acting out of your flesh. To be a true Christian in this time requires great faith. Persecution is rising, and we have been shown and told some of what is coming. But if you truly believe, as the disciples did long ago, though you know you will be persecuted, and maybe even are now by your family and associates, you keep on walking. You set your face like flint, and you keep moving forward as best you can to honor your King. But that does not mean it is easy. That does not mean you will not battle to take every step forward, to hold on to the faith you already have, as the devil fights to get you to give it up. The truth is, the fight becomes more intense the further you go with Jesus. Now, anybody who's been walking with him for very long already knows this. The further you walk, the more truth he will reveal to you, and the more afraid Satan becomes, because that truth is very powerful. And Satan is afraid you're going to learn how to use it. Can I just tell you that? Because those who refuse to lay down their walk, those who press in to take new ground for the Lord, who refuse to stop talking about his goodness, who do stand up for what is right when put in that position, who refuse to stop doing what is right and living for him, not just in front of others, but every minute behind the scenes where he is the only witness. Those who are leading others to him. These are the real dangers to the kingdom of darkness. There is a saying that sometimes God calms the storm, but sometimes he calms his child. And it's worded, sometimes God calms the storm and sometimes he calms his child. That is by John H. Groberg from his book, The Other Side of Heaven. In the storm that will be the great tribulation that is coming, I think it more likely the Lord will calm his children, because the tribulation has to play out that all scripture may be fulfilled. And I would love to think none of us were going to be in that, but I think we're probably going to be here. And also because without adversity, there is no growth. If you never experience adversity, you never grow. It is not during the mountaintop experiences, during the great times, that we grow. It is in our times of pain and struggle, when we have to press into God, when we have to press into the Word of God, when we have to draw on our deepest strength and His, that we grow. That is what makes you grow. It's also when He gives you revelation, by the way. Times of adversity force us to seek Him as never before and to get to know Him as never before. Because in those times, all other help eludes us, and He is our only hope. And He sets it up that way on purpose. Can I just say that? But that is when we find out our hope is well placed in Him, because He answers and He is all we need. Though everyone will face adversity at some time or another, most do not understand how to walk through it, especially those who have never faced real adversity or who have seldom faced it. The people who do best in times of adversity are those who have lived very hard lives, who have faced difficulty again and again. Those who have survived what we consider unthinkable tragedy are often those who do best. They have been knocked down and gotten up again, pressed in and pushed forward to see another day, and another and another and another, because they refused to quit. They refused to give up. They refused to not finish their race. So let me give you some suggestions on what I think helps you to get through adversity when it is really, really bad. Let's start with what not to do. Number one, if you are in lack, like you don't have enough money, do not lie. Do not manipulate people. Do not cheat to meet your need. God won't help you if you start acting like the devil. And a lot of people start manipulating and trying to get people to give them money and this and that, or they lie or they cheat to get what they need. And God's not going to help you if you're doing that, because you're already helping yourself to something you're not even, that He's not trying to send you. Number two, don't stop trusting God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, and you don't want any refining going on and on and on. You want to pass the test and get through it. Number three, don't blame other people for your situation. This is a big one. I see this happening a lot. Do not blame other people for what you are going through. If God is trying to promote you, it's not about other people, it's about you. Can I just say that? Number four, work on the things that you can work on, like your knowledge of the Word, doing the work in talking to people about Jesus. What you can do now, do that. And trust God with whatever you cannot do. If you cannot bring yourself money, if you cannot get yourself a house, trust God with that part. You do what you can do, God will do what He can do. Number five, don't look for or put your trust in a human savior here on earth. If you turn to a person to save you from your situation, you will very likely end up in a fiery wilderness season as the Lord works on getting that idolatry out of you. He is your God. He is your provider, not a person. That is a big one, because God takes idolatry very seriously. He is a jealous God. Number 6, try not to focus on how bad everything is. This is easier said than done. Our human nature makes us want to focus on our circumstances, and some of them are pretty urgent. If you have no money for food and you are homeless, that's pretty serious. It's hard not to think about that, okay? Our human nature makes us want to focus on our circumstances, but the more we focus on them, the more we tend to talk about them. And if we decree a thing, it is established. Okay? I have to fight this all the time. Women process things verbally. So we talk about what's going on because that's how we process what's going on. To decree means to speak. And that scripture, by the way, is in Job, that if you decree a thing, it is established. I don't have the reference in front of me. To decree means to speak. So every time you speak your bad circumstances, you help establish further what you do not want. I have to fight this, and I have been working on it very recently because I have not done very well in this time. When it comes down to is, we can help ourselves or hurt ourselves simply by what is coming out of our mouths. That goes for every day, but in adversity, we need every edge we can get to help things improve, don't we? Okay, so what are some things you can do? I'm glad you asked. Number 1, you can decide that you are going to trust God to the end of whatever is happening and believe Him for a good outcome. Instead of letting the devil whisper gloom and doom in your ear, oh, you're going to end up sleeping, you know, in the street or under a bridge, you know, whatever. Just go, no. My God shall supply every one of my needs. He's going to bring me out into an enlarged place and everything's going to be great. He's going to promote me and we're going to get back to work. Number 2, you can look up scripture promises or get a promise book to decree over your situation each day. My God shall supply all my needs is one scripture you can start decreeing right now. You can decree that God feeds you in famine. There are scriptures in the Bible about Him feeding Abraham in famine. I can't remember who else. Number 3, commit to yourself and to God that no matter how bad things get, you are not going to resort to sin. It is pretty common. I don't know how guys handle this kind of thing when they're in lack, but it's really common for women, especially in this day and age. If they get in lack or they get in a situation where they can't keep the lights on and stuff like that or pay the rent, to get into a relationship with a guy who's got a paycheck so he'll help. I'm just being blunt. I'm speaking truth to y'all. That is a sin. God don't want you shacking up with somebody so you can pay your bills, okay? And if you are doing that, you are in idolatry. And that is not a good thing. And God takes that very seriously. And it will keep all kinds of blessings out of your life. Because you made that person and his paycheck your God instead of God. And there is a scripture in Isaiah chapter 2, I believe, that says, and he will utterly abolish the idols. I always felt like that meant that he would destroy anything that you put as an idol in your life. It's probably not what it means, but I always thought that. Number 4, in your darkest moments, raise a hallelujah. This is so powerful. When the enemy is watching you from the shadows and enjoying your pain and your fear, raise a hallelujah. When the devil thinks he's won, raise a hallelujah to the King. Praise lightens your atmosphere and makes you feel better, and our God inhabits the praises of His people, but it's also fun to confuse the devil. And when you can dance and praise and say, Jesus, I love you and I worship you no matter what's going on in my life, that is powerful, and that will bring you breakthrough. Can I just tell you that? And say it like you mean it. Number 5. Now, here's the atomic nuclear thing that I think. If it gets really bad, the most powerful thing that I have found to do is fast, pray, and lay before the Lord. That brought me breakthrough in that terrible wilderness of 2009-2010. I found it in the Wilderness Companion. I was going back through there looking for something else, and I found that. And I was like, I forgot about that. But when things get to a crisis point in my life, I usually do go into a fast because it supercharges your prayers, for one thing. And it gets God's attention. It's a big deal to Him when we give up food, especially down here in the South. I think we get like double points because our food's good down here, y'all. It's good, okay? I'm just saying. I think it is important to remember that we are the chosen generation for this particular time, a time unlike any other, the generation that will literally see the return of Jesus. Other generations talked about it and longed for it, but we get to see it. I think it makes sense that since we live in a time like no other, we will be tested like no other, because we must be prepared like no other. Especially here in America, as we know America is under judgment that will not be turned back. So God has to get us ready for what's coming. Our only hope is in Him. He is the only one who can help, who can guide and provide when there is no provision around us. The only one who can protect us in what is coming until our work is done and we get to go home. Our jobs are to do the work we are assigned. I hope this podcast has increased your understanding about walking through adversity, walking through really hard times and times of testing and times when there are adversaries all around you. It's never fun, y'all. It's never fun. And it may have a different purpose, you know, at different times. But I think a lot of us right now, this is the purpose, because He has to get us ready for what's coming. May the Lord our God strengthen you, provide for you, and protect you as you walk forth in this time. And may you complete everything He has called you to do and have 1,000 times the blessings in heaven for doing it. Jesus bless you. Thanks for listening. Y'all have a great week. Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. I hope this has inspired you to a closer walk with Christ. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., P.O. Box 854, Altus, Oklahoma. That's A-L-T-U-S, Oklahoma 73522. Or by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination.
Does your life feel like it's falling apart around you? Are multiple things going wrong all at once? Does it seem all your comforts have been stripped away? You may have entered the wilderness. Wilderness experiences are often times of great discomfort and lack. Every Christian must pass through the desert on the way to their promised land. Find out how to go from surviving to thriving by partnering with God as He leads you in the path that will strengthen your faith and prepare you to step into your destiny. The Wilderness Companion will help you find out why you have been led into the wilderness. Find out the biggest hindrances to receiving the provision you need in the wilderness. Find out what the 7 temptations of the wilderness are. Learn how to partner with God in His purposes for you in the desert seasons. Get your copy of The Wilderness Companion today. The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax on Amazon.com in print, Kindle, or audiobook.